the Web Sphere Support Technical Exchange conference call. Today's topic is Web Sphere Adapter for Message Broker, Common Problems and Solutions with SAP Nodes. Today's presenter is Pratni Deyabhu. Pratni has been working with the Web Sphere Adapter's technical support team for the past 4 years. In her current role, she is responsible for assisting clients worldwide with solving adapter-related issues. She also works closely with the development team in order to improve the product quality and ensure client satisfaction. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Pratni.
Thanks, Joseph. Hello, everyone. This is Pavni here, and thanks for joining us today. With no further ado, let's progress on to the presentation. Let's move on to slide number 2. Slide number 2 basically covers the agenda for today's presentation. So what we'll look into today first is basically look into collecting the debugging information or the diagnostic information that's needed for the problems when working with the support on, and that will help the support would need in order to investigate the problems. Then later, we'll provide some useful hints on towards self-debugging. And then after that, we'll show up some of the common issues and solutions encountered by the users using the SAP nodes, and later open up for the questions. Let's move on to slide number 4. So when I'm working with the support working with us on adapter-related issues, the first thing we would like look out for is the version information. So first is that of for any issues that during the discovery time, that is basically running the adapter connection wizard using the message broker toolkit, we'll need the adapter version from the toolkit. So there are two ways to find that out. One easy way is to basically using the adapter connection wizard. So what we do is basically we go to the file and the file menu option, then do a file and then go to new and then adapter connection, which opens up the wizard, and that will basically display the adapter version. Another option is basically to navigate to the message broker toolkit directory, and in that toolkit directory, navigate to the resource adapter, SAP, and the deploy folder. So where you'll see the cwyap_sapadapter_tx.rar file. So you can either open it up with a WinZip or any other zip utility and navigate to find the manifest.mf file. So that lists the adapter version as well. Coming to the runtime issue, for any runtime issues, we would basically need the adapter version from the MV or the runtime folder. So in order to find that, what we need to do is like the toolkit, we have to navigate to the runtime directory and go to the adapters, prereqs, and jars. So there we'll see an cwyap_sapadapter.jar file. Just open up that file to find the manifest.mf file. So that should list out the version of the adapter being used at runtime. So once we have the versions, one other thing that I would like to mention here is, in addition to the versions, we generally request for the project interchange. So for the project interchange, what we need is basically go to the file, do an export, and then go to the select the project interchange. And not to forget, when exporting the project interchange, make sure to include the cwyap_sapadapter file. So that will help us basically review the adapter configuration. Without that, we will not be able to look at any of the connection properties of the .in or the .in adapter or the .out adapter files. Let's move on to slide number 6. In the next couple of slides, basically we'll discuss about information about collecting the logs during the discovery process as well as the runtime. So in this slide, let's talk about what are the logs that we would need for the discovery process, for any issues encountered during the artifact generation. So if you can see, there's a snapshot from the adapter connection wizard, which basically shows how to enable the logging. So there are two properties, basically the output location and the logging level. Make sure to select the severe, which is basically the finest level of tracing. So once you do that, it will basically generate a log file in the workspace directory, SAP metadata discovery.log. So in addition to this log file, the Eclipse Error logs, or basically the Message Broker Toolkit logs, are located in the .dot metadata folder as well. So in general, if you run into any issues during the discovery process, it's generally recommended just to zip up the .dot metadata folder, and instead of just providing the single SAP metadata discovery log. So it's just zip up that folder and provide it to the support. So in that way, we'll be able to look at the issue both from the adapter end, as well as if we need to involve our message broker colleagues, we'll be able to do that as well. Now next, moving on to slide number 7. In this slide, we'll talk more about what the information or the logs that we would need for debugging the runtime issues. First and foremost, we'll be needing the service traces. So for the service traces, if you can look down, following the MQSI change trace command to enable the debug mode for the service traces. So if you look in the MQSI change trace command, the first option is the broker name, followed by a minus T option. So make sure that the option is minus T and not minus U, because if you do a minus U, that will basically generate a user trace, which is not of much use when debugging adapter issues. So if you use a minus T, it will generate the service trace, and which will basically also embed the user traces within the service trace. So it's not needed to independently just generate the user traces. In addition to the service traces, what will be helpful is would be the local system logs, because all the WebSphere message broker event components would log any information that relates to interacting with the system in these logs. So on Windows, it's the event logs. You can go to the application view. And for the event logs, basically, they tend to fill up quite soon. So make sure that the event log file size is large enough, or else circular logging is enabled for those files. So on Unix, it's basically the system syslogs. And we can look up these two logs to determine, look out for any errors. And in addition to this local system logs, we have other logs called the broker domain event logs, which you can view in the domain view in the broker administration perspective. So broker domain event logs are especially useful if you run into any issues during deployment of the bar file. So the event log, we have an editor called the event log view editor, which can be opened in the broker admin perspective. So that will provide more information of if you run into any issues during deployment. And last but not the least, the RFC traces and the JCO traces. So these traces are basically enabled using adapter connection wizard. So we can basically set the RFC trace to on or off, and the JCO traces, we can set different levels of JCO traces. So these traces would be really helpful if any issues occur during the RFC calls to the SAP system. And one other thing to mention here is this RFC traces are huge, and also they tend to occupy a large disk space. So make sure that you just enable them only when needed and disable once you collect all the information. Let's move on to slide number 8. So before starting off with slide number 8, let me summarize the information or the diagnostic information briefly on what the support would need for investigation. So just for discovery process or issues that occur in the toolkit, we'll need the project interchange, the contents of the .dot metadata folder, and then the snapshot showing the error. And for the runtime issues, to start off, first and foremost, we'll be needing the service traces with the debug mode on. So once you have this information, it will be really helpful and will save some time for the problem investigation. So starting off with slide number 8, in the next couple of slides, I plan to provide some useful hints towards self-debugging. To start off, let's start off with the trace node. So the trace node that's available in MB, so it's mainly helpful for debugging data-related issues. Let me explain with the scenario here. For example, let's take a scenario where an IDOC has some special characters, and it's sent to an SAP input node, which is basically wired to an MQ output node. So when an IDOF with a special character is sent, and when we verify the output in the MQ output queue, we see that the characters are not being displayed correctly. So at that point, we need to know, like, whether the issue is in the adapter or whether the issue had occurred on the MB end. So for those kind of scenarios, what we could do is we can just place a trace note just right after the SAP input note, then basically send a message, send an IDOC from SAP. So at that point, what happens is once the event reaches the SAP input node, before it goes to the MQ output node, it goes to the trace node. So by looking at the output of the trace node, we can figure out, okay, whether the SAP is an issue on the SAP end or not. So that's the scenario where the trace node could be really helpful. And listed in the screen is basically the properties for the trace node. So just to go over the properties, so first is the destination. So for the destination, you can either specify a file or a user trace. It's generally recommended to use the file thing. The reason being that when we choose a file, it will just put the trace node output in a separate file, and it's not intertwined with the other traces, and it will be much more readable. And for the pattern, make sure that it is set to $root. So basically what would happen is when we set it to $root, it basically would print out or output all the properties along with the headers. So that will be sufficient to isolate the issue. Now moving on to slide number 9. So further looking into the tips for search debugging, I thought I'll list the keywords to look out for, or these are basically the method calls that you generally see in the service traces, and thought that will be helpful to pinpoint provide more insight to pinpoint the issue or to basically isolate whether it's an adapter issue or an MB issue before opening a PMR, so that you could open a PMR with the right component and save some time there. So to start off, let's start off with an inbound scenario. So in inbound scenario, basically for the transactional TRFC scenarios, and this applies to both the ALE and the BAPI modules. So when an SAP pushes an event to the adapter, so what happens is the first method that it calls is the on, we will see in the service traces, is the on-check TID. What would happen is SAP would also push, when SAP pushes the event, it will first push the TID to the adapter. So for a new event, what the adapter does is it checks the TID, and then basically since it's a new event, it stores the TID along with the status of created in the event store. So if it's a rollback, then it will basically change the status of the created. Also, all these things happen in on-check TID method. So once it checks for the TID and it stores it in the event store, the next method that would be called is handle request. So handle request is basically what would happen is here is where the IDOC is really processed, meaning that the IDOC we get the IDOC object and then basically convert into a business object. And then basically once it converts into the BO, it basically also sets the status, changes it from created to in progress. So once the IDOC is processed, the next what would happen is basically converted to the BO is like SAP sends a commit call to the adapter. So when it sends a commit call, that is exactly when the adapter determines that, okay, now I'm ready to deliver it to the endpoint. So if an on rollback method is called, that means that something went wrong. So it will basically set the status in the event store to failed. So once a commit call is done, the next step is basically once SAP calls a commit, so and then the status would be set to executed here. So first, just to summarize, first the status would be created in the event store, then it will be changed to event in progress, then it's to executed. So after this, then the SAP basically sends a confirmation of the successful delivery to the adapter. So at this point, we would see the onConfirmed TID method. And all these things happen in onConfirmed TID method, and at this point, the event is deleted from the event store. So right after the onConfirmed TID, you will see something like the onNotification method in the service traces that's invoked on the message endpoint. So once you see that method, that means that the adapter has successfully completed processing and it's out of the adapter at this point. Moving on to slide number 10. Let's look into what are the method calls or the keywords to look out for an outbound scenario. So here, first look into the BAPI outbound scenario. So in the BAPI outbound scenario, what would happen is, like, first, in the service traces, we'll see a method, WBM managed connection.getConnection. What happens in this method is basically to read all the properties or the from the in an out adapter file, and then basically establish a connection to the EIS. Once this is done, a connection is established, then the next call that we would see is basically an interaction.execute method. So this method is called by the client. So what it does is, like, the client invoking the adapter would basically call this method, and it passes the business object to this method. So the following methods basically, and there we determine basically, like, okay, this is a BAPI interface. So once we determine the interface, then it is followed by the invoke BAPI call. So what would happen here is basically we'll read the metadata information or the ASI or the application specific information, and then invoke the BAPI. And then also at this point, what would happen is the SAP business object, BAPI object serializer method is called. So what would happen is, like, the BO attributes are mapped to the JCO function call. And then the JCO adapter then executes the JCO function. Once it executes the JCO function, then it would basically, it would map the return object into the BO and sends it back to the client. So this would happen in the methods invoke BAPI, and then the mapping from the BO to the BAPI attributes happen in the BAPI object serializer dot cursor to BAPI function method. Then once the return object is returned, the mapping from the BAPI function to the BO is done in the EIS object to the BAPI cursor method. Once that is done, the last one that we would see is basically a method saying that propagating message to the destination terminal. So this is the point where, again, the control is basically outside the adapter. Now moving on to slide number 11. In this slide, we'll discuss about or we'll cover, like, the method calls for the ALE outbound scenario. Similar to the BAPI outbound, again, we would see a get connection method. So once the connection is established, then here we will see an interaction.execute method here again. So in the interaction.execute method, what we would see is, like, by introspecting the business object sent by the client, we'll be able to know, like, hey, this is an IDOC type. So once it determines that this is an IDOC, then a post IDOC method is called. So what would happen in this method is basically the adapter would post the IDOC onto the SAP via the SAP JCO call. So that's basically it, what happens in the ALE outbound scenario. So once it posts the IDOC, since it's an asynchronous and nothing is written back to the client, the last message that we basically see is saying something like a propagating message to the destination terminal. So by making use of all these method calls or by searching for the keywords, these particular keywords in the service traces, we can easily figure out where the issue is happening. Now moving on to slide number 12. So to start off, since we basically covered, like, what is the diagnostic information to collect, followed by some useful tips for self-debugging. And in the next couple of slides, we'll be basically discussing about the common issues encountered by the users, both during discovery and at runtime. So first we'll start off with the issues that during the discovery time, or basically the artifact generation. Let's move on to slide number 13. One of the issues that we commonly see is basically an error saying that when running the adapter connection wizard for discovering the IDOC, error saying that unable to access the SAP query table. So the solution is basically for this particular thing is the error would basically occur if the user account does not have the appropriate permission. So at this point, I mean, we'll have to check with the SAP basis administrator to determine whether the user account has appropriate permissions to invoke the IDOCs in SAP. So let's move on to slide number 14. So even though this is an SAP basis admin task, thought that I will basically just highlight some of the basic authorization objects that would be needed and talk something about the authorization on the SAP end, just for information's sake. So first, listed below are the authorization objects, minimum authorization objects that the SAP adapter would need in order to function correctly. So basically, check with the administrator, SAP basis administrator, to make sure that the user has appropriate permissions for at least these authorization objects. So one other tip to find out like the authorization objects and whether the user has appropriate permissions is, we can go to like SM19 transaction code in SAP, which basically has used to enable the security audit traces. So once you enable the traces, run the wizard and then go to SM20, and then which would basically contain the system log. So there it will basically tell you like what are the authorization objects that were accessed or denied. So by looking at that, we can go back, backtrack and say if they doesn't have proper permissions, then we can go back and set the appropriate permissions. So, and also following is a URL which has some additional information about the authorization on that's needed for the ALE and the BAPI modules. Let's move on to slide number 15. Slide number 15 about the unreleased segments. To talk about this issue, what generally an IDOC, it can contain multiple segment definitions at different release levels. So, and there could be some segments that are not released. So if we try to use that particular IDOC which has unreleased segments, it could either result in a segment could not be read for the release error during the discovery time, or we'll basically try to use the latest released version and then eventually run into an error in the runtime, data binding exception at the runtime. So in order to avoid this, what we have is like if the IDOC has unreleased segments, and as shown in the snapshot here to the right-hand side, we have the IDOC release version. So by default, this is set to the version against which the adapter connection wizard is run against. But if the IDOC has unreleased segments, this value should not be set, or basically it should be set to empty, set to empty string. So that's the way we can get around this issue of using the IDOC with unreleased segments. And just to mention that this manual workaround, manual step has to be taken in case of 6.1, but this has been handled so that no manual steps are required, and the adapter directly takes care of reading the IDOC with the unreleased segments and converting it to the appropriate business object in 7.0 release. Let's move on to slide number 16. One of the common issues that we've seen is like issue with not being able to set the RFC trace path parameter in the wizard to a Unix location. So the solution or the workaround for this is to use an MQSI create configurable service command. So following on the command, under the command usage, you would see the command, how the command looks like. So the configurable service type should be set to the SAP connection. So one other thing to mention about this property is, so once you set the RF values in here, that will basically override the properties in the .in adapter or the .out adapter if you've already set them. So just to make sure, like the following URL that's at the end of the slide, it basically lists that all the properties that can be set or that must be set when using the MQSI create configurable service command. So otherwise, what would happen is, assume there is like some mandatory properties like the gateway host, the username, and the password. And assume that you have set them in the in adapter, and then later for the RFC trace, you use the MQSI service command, and you just set the RFC trace and not include the values for those. So what would happen is, once it's executed, this will basically override the out adapter components, and that values will be erased from there, and it will be basically set to empty string, which would result in errors at the later point. So now let's move on to, that's about RFC trace path. Let's move on to slide number 17. Recently we've been noticing quite few issues with the ALE module around like different BO names being naming conventions being used between different releases, meaning like 6103 was using certain naming conventions for the IDOC control record and the data record, and again when upgraded to 6104 it was using a different BO naming conventions. So this was causing issues like both at, during recovery and also was impacting the runtime. So in order to address this issue and provide backward compatibility across all the versions, what there have been two new fields being added. That is basically in addition to the use SAP field names. That is, as you can see, the use SAP original casing for the control record and the use SAP original casing for the data record. So by using these two fields, we can basically make sure that the field names for the IDOC control record and the data record are backward compatible with the older versions. Now, moving on to slide number 18. In the next couple of slides, we'll discuss about some of the runtime issues that we have we see most of the time with the users. Let's move on to slide number 19. In the slide number 19, the JCO RFC exceptions. One of the commonly seen error scenario is the JCO RFC exceptions, meaning in the logs, we do see issues like saying that an RFC system failure error occurs. So for these errors listed, like the RFC error system failure, communication or canceled, these errors are basically thrown by the JCO. So since we know that SAP Adapter uses the JCO, SAP JCO to invoke the, to make a call to the SAP system. If any error occurs during that call, that's when these exceptions occur. So in this case, when this exception occurs, there's not much that can be done on the adapter end. All the adapter does is just log the error. So all the recovery action or corrective actions needs to be taken on the SAP end. And the SAP basis admin has to be involved to figure out the root cause for this particular issue. Now moving on to slide number 20. This is one other scenario that we popularly see, or most popular issues that we see, is about the SAP server maintenance. We see questions around like, what's the adapter behavior when the SAP is brought down for planned maintenance? Does the adapter try to recover or do we have any properties? And questions like that. So, yes, adapters do have certain properties to handle for both the SAP input as well as the SAP request nodes. So, talking about the SAP input node, we have these two properties, the max number of retries and then the time between the retries. So, the max number of retries is by default, it's set to zero. When we say zero, it tries infinite number of times. So, what it does is like when this property is set, it basically tries to reset the listeners for so many times. And if the SAP comes up, that's fine, and it will try to reconnect. If the SAP doesn't come up during that time frame, or if it's not able to establish connection, after that configured interval, it just stops retrying. And then in that scenario, once a manual action would be needed later when the SAP comes up. That is basically restarting the message flow. And for the SAP request node, so just to talk about the SAP request node, I mean, as we mentioned in an outbound, what would happen is a connection would be only established when a request comes in. So, for example, say an outbound request came in. So that's when what would happen is a new connection will be established, and that connection will be basically cached so that in order to get over the overhead of creating a new connection every time, so that particular connection is cached so that it can be reused. So in case basically where the SAP server went down, what would happen is that SAP comes back up, that's when adapter will try to resend the event. When we try to send the event, it will try to send that event using the cached connection. So that's only when it will realize that, hey, the connection handle is invalid. So that's basically when the message is logged into the traces and then the message is rolled back. So at this point, it will realize that the connection is invalid and then will clean up the connection and establish the new connection. So what it means is like the first request on once a SAP, when it comes up, would always fail. So in order to handle so that, that the first request doesn't fail, what the users can do is, like, they can have the recovery mechanism on the MB end itself. So, for example, we generally have the catch or the failure notes terminals, right? I mean, in case of any failures. So in the catch or the failure notes, we can basically do some kind of a coding to recover. So say, like, okay, if a failure has occurred, let's try to resubmit that event. So that's how best way to avoid a failure scenario for the first request. And having said that, our MB team, since we have seen quite some issues around saying that it's not acceptable that the first request fails, so MB team has worked into it, and they provided a fix on the iFix version on 6.105, and they plan to include it in the next NB fix pack that's coming end of Q1 on 6.106 version, so that in that scenario nothing would be needed, and the SAP request node would handle even the first request without any manual intervention. So having said that, one other property that I would want to talk about is ensure once only delivery. So what we have noticed is some of the issues around, like, saying that the in-flight events were lost during the SAP restart time. So the reason why that would occur is by default what would happen is, like, it would use an in-memory cache. So that gets erased every time SAP is restarted. So for that, once this property is set, ensure once and only once delivery, then all the event data is stored in a persistent data store. So what would happen is the event recovery is tracked, and it will try to recover the events in case of any abrupt termination or a failure. So it's always recommended that this property is being set. Now let's move on to slide number 21. Even though we have an earlier slide, we talked about, like, the properties that will help in reconnect and handle the maintenance scenario. Even though these properties are really available, there are certain best practices which we can follow, and that will be really helpful in so that no other issues would occur. So the best practice is, like, anyways, when SAP server is down, there wouldn't be any interactions or any activity between the SAP server or on the adapter end. So at that point, what we could do is basically, whenever the SAP server is bought, there's a planned maintenance scenario. Just stop the message flow involving the adapter, and then once the SAP message flow is stopped, then stop the SAP system, perform whatever maintenance is required, and then once the SAP system is up, then basically we can start off the message flow. Instead of basically relying on this property, it's always a best practice to follow these steps for proper, so that we don't run into any other issues. Now moving on to slide number 22. In the next couple of slides, we will cover the issues that are more specific and we are seeing with the SAP input node. Just the SAP input node. Let's move on to slide number 23. RFC program ID issue. So one of the commonly seen issues with the SAP node around the RFC program ID. The scenario would be something like, for example, users trying to use, like, having two message flows with the SAP input node, and each of them having two different, listening for two different IDOCs, but on a same RFC program ID. So I'm asking if the adapter will support these kind of scenario. But just to say, this kind of scenario, it's not really a supported scenario, and we'd always recommend to basically use a unique RFC program ID for each of the SAP input node in the execution group. The reason is, basically, let's assume there's a scenario where message flow 1 is configured for IDOC 1 and message flow 2 is configured for IDOC 2. So, and both are listening at the same RFC program ID. So what would happen is, like, since both the input nodes are listening at the same program ID, there's no way that we can control that IDOC 1 goes to IDOC, the message flow 1 itself. So there's always a possibility that the message flow 2 could receive the IDOC one, and which would basically cause a failure when trying to convert that IDOC because the message flow 2 doesn't have the message definitions for the IDOC 1. For handling this scenario, it is all, as I said, like it's always recommended to use the unique RFC program ID per the SAP input node in the SAP node in the execution group. The limitation that regarding the RFC program ID that's addressed in 7.0 is a typical HS scenario, meaning that instead of two different IDOCs, let's assume that we have a high availability scenario where we have two message flows basically listening on a same IDOC on the same RFC on an RFC program ID. So as we know, like in the input node, we use a TID mechanism to make sure that the event is delivered exactly once. So what happens is like when a TID is delivered, so we're basically SAP, in order to, until the SAP confirms the successful delivery, adapter or the MBN keeps track of the progress using this particular TID. So what happens is if there is a connection failure or if something goes on the SAP, on the MBN before the confirmation is sent by the SAP, then SAP will try to re-deliver the event. So what would happen is like in this scenario, let's say we have two message flows with the SAP input node. And like each of them on two different broker instances, so each will maintain their own TID store. So what will happen is like let's assume there was something wrong and while before the SAP sends confirmation, but some or all of the IDOCs were processed in the message flow. So but since they were using two different TID stores, when SAP attempts redelivery and when the message flow is one is down, it will basically try to redeliver it and it will go to the message flow 2. So and the message flow 2 will complete successfully because since they're maintaining two TID stores, there's no way that the message flow 2 knows that the IDOCs were already processed. So in order to address this limitation, what we have or what the scenario that's supported in 7.0 release is basically shared TID store. So there's a way that what we're doing is like instead of having two different TID stores, TID stores for each of the message flows, right, we'll move the TID store to a third queue manager. So once we move that, both the message flows will be sharing that TID store. So in this scenario where one message flow goes down and SAP attempts to redeliver it to the another message flow, so since both of them share the same TID store, the SAP when it tries to redeliver and it will not go through and it will basically determine that this event is already there because of the persistence in the event store. Next, moving on to slide number 24. Events not reaching the endpoint. We've seen quite a couple of issues around basically a scenario. For example, say involving the we have a message flow which has an SAP input node. And basically when an IDOC messages are sent from the SAP, and when if you look in the SAP logs and SAP system from the SM58 transaction, it shows successful delivery. But what the events are nowhere seen. Basically say we have the input node to the wire to an MQ output node. So the events do not reach the MQ output node. So they're lost somewhere. So then, also at that point, if we check in our adapter logs, we see that our notification method is called. So that means that the adapter has successfully processed the message. So this was one of the issues that was seen, and it was basically our MB message broker team. It was identified to be an issue on that, and what was happening was this was typically happening during an SAP restart scenario. So what was happening was when it was trying SAP restart, the message flow was getting corrupted for some reason and also it was getting persisted to the broker database. So because the corrupted flow was being persisted to the broker database, so in this scenario, no matter if you restart the message flow or restart your broker, nothing was happening. So it was not able to recover from this scenario. So this issue has been identified and MB team has addressed this issue in an APR. So if you're running into this issue, open up a PMR against the MB component, and our MB colleague should be able to provide a fix for this issue. Now, moving on to slide number 25. Limitation in associating operations. So, let's take a scenario where in SAP we have an IDOC, which has like four different partner profiles, that is four different combinations of message code, message type, and message function. So when running the wizard, we'll be able to only associate it with only three different operations. That is like the create, update, and the delete. So there's no way that we could add more than three operations. So this issue is basically a limitation in 6.1 release, and which has been addressed in 7.0. So in 7.0, we can associate as many partner profiles as possible within the adapter connection wizard. Now moving on to slide number 26. Service unknown error. So this is one of the issues that we've been recently seeing with customers who are trying to use the message broker 7.0 release. With the SAP input node. So what was happening is like when a message flow containing the SAP input node is deployed, it was throwing an error saying that error service unknown, SAP, the gateway name unknown. So for SAP input node, there is one additional step that we need to take care of, which was not required in 6.1. So that is basically adding the line saying that SAP GW00, where basically the SAP GW00 is the default gateway, followed by the port to the services file. So this is not, so this, having investigated into issue, this is looks like it's some prerequisite from the JCode 3.0 perspective. So if there are any port conflicts, please check with your system administrator and they should be able to help out with that. Now, let's move on to slide number 27. Now, let's cover some of the issues related to the SAP request node. Let's move on to slide number 28. Max length ASI issue. With the SAP request node, especially with the BAPI interface, so we were seeing an issue saying that when mapping the return data back to the business object, an error was occurring saying that the data exceeded the maximum length of the BAPI. So this particular error was identified as a defect. So it was happening because during the discovery for the BAPI out and the BAPI in out parameters, the maximum length ASI was not being set properly. So it was basically set to zero. So no matter for any data of any length, this error was being thrown. So this issue has been addressed in all the latest iFixes on 6.1.03, 0.4, and 0.5. Now moving on to slide number 29. Another issue is basically talks about the ABAP logic change. This issue is basically to do with the BAPI module again. So let's assume new connection is established and being used for the BAPI module. So assume like there was a ABAP logic change on the SAP end or some of the global variables changed. So the BAPI module wasn't reflecting or using those new values and it was continuing to use the old values. This issue has been addressed. The reason why it was happening was whenever a connection was established, the adapter or basically the connection, the global variables and also the were being cached on that connection. So and whenever they were and weren't picking up the changes until the message flow was restarted. So in order to handle this, we've introduced a new property called the reset the JCode client after closing the connection handle. So once this property is set in the adapter connection wizard, what would happen is basically it will try to renew the local cache and message flow doesn't have to be restarted and it will directly pick up the changes on the SAP end. But this call could be quite expensive because for this basically what should be done is that the connection should be closed and a new connection has to be opened. So always the connection thing, opening a new connection is expensive. So For this, this has been included in the latest iFixes on from 6103 onwards and also has been included in the version 7 as well. Moving on to slide number 30. Error when sending the IDOC. So if you look at the exception, see an following error was seen, basically saying that the in the get accessor method, saying that it was unable to basically populate the input business object cursor. So the reason is basically the reason for the error why it would occur is only when if the mandatory values for the control record are not populated or if the data record has not been initialized. So make sure I've listed in the slide the mandatory properties or the mandatory fields in the control record that has to be populated when invoking that IDOC. So one other thing to mention here is like this issue is also seen when basically when we write an eSQL code which basically invokes the adapter, which is passed as an input message to the adapter. So in the eSQL code, when setting the values for the control record and the fields, make sure they're case sensitive. So make sure the name being used in the eSQL matches the BO names generated in the business, in the XSDs. Now move on to slide number 31. In slide number 31, so this is basically an RFC system failure exception that basically occurs with the QISS module. So what it says is basically it says error in assigned statement when executing the program. So this happened to be an issue, that known issue on the SAP end, and according to the SAP note 75278, what it lists is to use a custom function. Create and use a custom function. So in our adapter, there's a way, by default, it uses RFC underscore read underscore table function. So if you have in the screenshot shown on the right-hand side, in the custom retrieve function name is where you can specify the custom function once it has been created on the SAP end. Now moving on to slide number 32. In the next couple of slides, basically Todd will discuss or talk about the load balancing support or the load balancing feature provided by the adapters. So let's move on to slide number 33. Talking about load balancing, the adapter only supports server-side load balancing, meaning to say that in case of outbound scenario, it's basically the adapter doesn't do any kind of load distribution or anything. So it basically, what it does is like it has this properties like the message server host logon group. All it does is it passes these parameters to the JCO function call and it takes care of which basically the SAP JCO is the one which takes care of working or handling the SAP end. So all the load balancing or all the load distribution has to be handled on the SAP end. So there's not much that can be done on the adapter end for this load distribution. Moving on to slide number 34. Recently, we've noticed like one of the issues was reported with respect to the load balancing, and this has to do with the SAP input node. So what was happening was like in the scenario where they had assumed we have like three application servers being registered in an SAP load balancing setup. So when the events were sent from each of the application servers, they were not reaching the adapter. The adapter was only basically listening to the host or the application server, which is basically specified in the gateway host or the message server host. So this issue has been identified and work is in progress for this particular one. So if anyone runs into this scenario and requires assistance for this, please open a PMR and please contact support and we'll be able to assist further on this one. Let's move on to slide number 35. In the next couple of slides, generally we see issues or questions around like once we provide a fix for the issue, for the defects. Issues like how to apply the fix, and so thought we'll list in the next couple of slides on the steps that needs to be taken once the fixes are provided. So let's go on to slide number 36. So we have two different types of fixes that we provide. The first one is basically a test fix in that we would generally provide initially to verify the issue reported has been resolved. So for that test fix, what we generally do is basically we provide just the CWYAP underscore SAP and adapter underscore px.ras file for both the toolkit and the runtime issues. So for the toolkit issues, we can just directly replace the existing RAS file with the test fix provided. But for the runtime issues, what we have to do is like just open up this RAS file and take the CWIP underscore SAP adapter.jar file from that RAS file and then replace it in the runtime folder. So, and also just to mention that whenever we provide test fixes, those are only meant for verification verification and not to be used in production environments. And for the iFixes, basically we'll generally provide the package underscore wmbt.zip file for the toolkit fixes. So once the zip file is provided, let's extract it to a temporary folder and then stop the toolkit and basically navigate to the toolkit folder and to the resource adapter deploy directory and then rename the existing RAR file to say something like SAP adapter underscore tx.rar.old. And once it's renamed, then replace the, copy the new file that iFix provided to the folder, and then restart the toolkit. Let's move on to slide number 37. In order to apply fix for the runtime issues, unzip the folder package underscore WMB. So once you unzip, stop all the brokers and back up the existing jar file in the runtime directory. So when you back up, make sure that it's basically renamed to something like .old. The reason being is like if you basically copy it to a different location and if it's still in the class path, that after, there's a possibility that might pick up when the classes are loading. So just it's always safe to just rename it to old and then copy the new file into the location. Once the files are copied, just restart your brokers. So this should take care of the steps of applying the fixes at runtime. Let's move on to slide number 38. Before I talk about the bookmarks and the links, I just wanted to take some time to just highlight like the new features that are available in Message Broker 7.0. I'm sorry, I don't have those slides included in my presentation, but thought I'll just take a couple of minutes just to list out the features, new features that are available. So one of the features, as we talked about, is like the high availability environment failure scenario is being handled in 7.0. That is support for a shared TID store. That's one of it. And the limitation which we had, like both with the ALE and the BAPI modules on, like with ALE, it was basically being able to choose only three different types of operations, that is create, update, and delete. And with the BAPI, it is like create, retrieve, update, and delete. So there was a restriction that only four BAPIs can be chosen during the adapter connection wizard. And three operations for the ALE. So this limitation has been removed from 7.0 onwards. There was also support being added for the synchronous BAPI call. So, and a new node has been introduced, which is basically the SAP reply node, in order to reply back in the case of a synchronous callback scenario. One other feature that has been added is basically the iterative discovery. So what it is like can add, say, assume we have a message flow for all the existing message flow, and we could always add the new objects to that existing message flow without having to replace the existing or affecting the existing objects. So these are basically the new features that have been added in 7.0. And now coming back to the slide 38, these are some of the links or the URLs. Can look out for more information about the SAP adapter and SAP adapter in about talks about the hardware software requirements, recommended fixes, and the info centers. Let's move on to slide number 39. So in this slide, basically I listed some of the links to the that could be useful for WebSphere, for example, for receiving my notification, and also about the WebSphere user group and all those stuff. So at this point, I'm done with my presentation and would like to transfer it to Joseph.
Thank you, Pratni, for a great presentation. At this point in time, Angela, we would like to open the line for questions.
Okay, we don't have any questions at this time.
Thank you, Angela. At this time, we will conclude the presentation.